This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist who works with Dr. Hoffman here in Manhattan, 330 West 58th Street, Suite 610. If you would like to make an appointment or contact me, 212-779-1744, to contact me with your questions, topics of interest for me to discuss on this podcast, email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So today, couple of items here that I want to talk to you about. Did you know that the most popular weight loss diet on Reddit would never be recommended by nutritionists? And this is the calories in, calories out diet. So the calories in, calories out diet is Reddit's favorite form of dieting, and nutritionists are not responsive. If you've never been to Reddit, it's a website. It's kind of like, I almost want to call it a clearinghouse, an inventory of various topics and sources for those topics. Reddit, a discussion website with various subreddit forums, has posted about the calories in, calories out diet across many of its weight loss forums. So, one user who had been following the calories in, calories out diet for 2 months and shed 20 pounds wrote, "For years, I actually thought that losing weight required vigorous exercise and eating nothing but tilapia, broccoli, and spinach. How wrong was I?" In a separate thread, another user shared, "The calories in, calories out diet will work regardless of what you're eating. Junk food, healthy food, fancy food, cheap food, it doesn't matter. Calories in, calories out is essentially the only thing that matters when it comes to weight loss." However, this is challenged by nutritionists as an old way of thinking. Welcome, my colleagues. Yay! I've been saying this for years, because the type of calorie determines its metabolic fate. Pardon me. The type of calorie determines its metabolic fate. Protein and fat calories will tend to be burned for energy, whereas carbohydrate calories will tend to be stored as fat. So, the diet suggests, the calories in, calories out diet suggests that you could eat whatever type of food you want, healthy food, junk food, and still lose weight by creating a calorie deficit throughout the day, meaning fewer calories that you expend each day. However, nutritionists argue that not all calories are created equally, and relying on calorie counting to lose weight does your body a disservice in the end. You have to also consider how your food choices affect your body beyond weight loss. It's true. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, you will see I have an article there about it. Eating all junk but keeping it low calorie will still wreak havoc on things like your skin, your mood, your gastrointestinal functions, say Dawn Jackson Blattner, RDN, the author of The Superfood Swap. Quote, "At the core of it, it's true that calories will rule when things come to weight loss," Blattner concedes, but explains that is only true in the most crude, raw possible way. That's right. She's right. And nutrition expert Cynthia Sass says, we now know that the quality of the calories you consume, as well as the macronutrient balance and timing, all impact metabolism, satiety, and how your body utilizes calories. It's not as simple as a math equation, says Cynthia Sass. Clinical dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic, Mira Illick, extrapolates on macronutrient needs, stating, a well-balanced diet is necessary for things like tissue repair, muscle recovery, and growth. And while Mira Illick knows people can lose weight with calories in, calories out, she says, but would I recommend this to my patients? Definitely not. Yay! More and more nutritionists have caught on to the point that it's not all about the calories. Now, at the end of the day, do calories count? Yes, absolutely. If you're going to eat 3,500 calories every day, even if they're in the form of good quality steak and vegetables and fish and all that, you are going to gain weight. But who should consume 3,500 calories a day? Maybe an NFL linebacker in training or during the season. Not you and me. But you don't have to count your calories. We know that on a lower carb diet, you can consume as much as 300 to as much as 700 calories a day and still lose weight. So, this is important. This is becoming now more and more mainstream. It's not just about the calories, and that if you eat the same amount of calories every day, it will work against you. Mother Nature knows if there's a famine going on, and this is precisely how she will, because she wants you to survive, she will downregulate your metabolism in an effort for you to stay alive, and that means not lose any more weight. I have some more news for you. This is from a couple of months ago. Vitamin C, an antibiotic combo, can kill cancer cells. If you listen to this podcast often, you must have heard me say over the years that sometimes I'll run out of my vitamins and I won't buy them in time to get back on track, maybe. But the only vitamin I never do that with is vitamin C. Vitamin C is beneficial for a lot of things besides what I'm going to talk to you about now. Skin elasticity, arterial endothelial function, elasticity, all of that. Very important antioxidant. So, researchers have shown that a combination of antibiotics and vitamin C can destroy cancer stem cells before they promote the growth of fatal tumors. Researchers in the United Kingdom may have found a way to destroy cancer cells with a combination of vitamin C and antibiotics. A University of Salford research team made use of a new experimental approach to knock out these stem cells that spur the expansion of fatal tumors. And this research was recently published in the journal OncoTarget. Wow, I've never heard of the name of that journal before, OncoTarget. So, the research details. The antibiotic used in the research of doxycycline, as you may or may not know, doxycycline is a member of the tetracycline family. It's used commonly in Lyme disease, okay, among other conditions. So they used doxycycline in this research, and the application of vitamin C following the application of doxycycline unexpectedly proved quite effective in destroying cancer stem cells in lab conditions. That's serendipitous, huh? Think of this two-pronged attack as similar to a boxer pummeling his opponent with two successive blows, a right-hand jab complemented by a left-hand uppercut. Oh, yeah. The University of Salford research team states their method provides a new explanation for the prevention of cancer cell expansion to the point that they become resistant to treatment. Wow. Their work, conducted at Salford's Biomedical Research Center, will also help determine how combination therapies can be used to best overcome cancer cell resistance to drugs. And here's the thing, I know for Dr. Hoffman for decades has used intravenous vitamin C therapy for many, many cancer patients. The study was designed by Michael Lasanti, a professor at the University of Salford. He commented that the study has helped his team understand how some cancer cells remain unaffected by chemotherapy and prove resistant to drugs. His team suspected the solution was rooted in the fact that specific cancer cells, referred to as metabolically flexible, are capable of switching their fuel source. Interesting. When the application of the drug treatment decreases the availability of a specific nutrient, these flexible cells are capable of feeding themselves through an alternative energy source. The research team's use of the new combination approach stops cancer cells from altering their diet and basically starves them. Wow. These cells are prevented from using any other types of biofuels that might be available. This is fascinating. So this is done, this research was done in the setting of a lab, not necessarily in the setting of a human body, where there's so much other synergy going on. So how metabolic inflexibility was achieved? Metabolic inflexibility was induced by adding doxycycline in incrementally higher doses across a period of 3 months. The result left the cancer cells alive, yet they were in a depleted state of existence, making them that much more susceptible to a lack of sustenance through a follow-up metabolic punch of sorts. The research team hindered tumor cell mitochondria with the restriction of cancer cells to glucose as a source of fuel. So they hindered tumor cell mitochondria with the restriction of cancer cells to glucose as a source of fuel. The cancer cells were not allowed to use glucose as a source of fuel. The team then removed the glucose and starved the cancer cells until they perished. In this instance, vitamin C functions as a means of inhibiting glycolysis that spurs energy production within mitochondria, which is considered the cell's nucleus. Now, this is interesting, and this is a primary reason why a ketogenic diet is beneficial for starving cancer. Did you know that our blood glucose, or blood glucose at all, competes with vitamin C for metabolism? And when you take vitamin C in a higher dose, the vitamin C can win, but you have to have a lower blood glucose, as in the setting of a lower carb or very low carb ketogenic diet, for this to happen. This is fascinating. So, the research showed that vitamin C is upwards of 10 times more effective at halting cancer cell growth than other pharmaceutical treatments like 2DG. The research team reports that the combination of vitamin C with an antibiotic proves about 100 times more effective at combating cancer than 2DG. This is very exciting. The beauty of this treatment approach partially lies in the fact that vitamin C and doxycycline are both non-toxic, so there will be minimal, if any, side effects. Bravo. This is very exciting. And certainly, chemotherapy, we know, is toxic, has many upon many side effects, and destroys the immune system. So, the research team also pinpointed 8 additional drugs that can be used as a follow-up attack after the application of the antibiotic. These drugs include berberine, a completely natural product, along with an array of low-cost drugs that are non-toxic and FDA-approved. Berberine is a supplement that we use a lot in our patients with high blood sugar, impaired glucose tolerance, prediabetes, diabetes. Berberine helps to lower blood sugar. So they're attacking the blood sugar in response to cancer, which is terrific. Professor Lasanti believes the result of his team's work proved quite promising for clinical trials. This 1-2 combination will also likely be used as an add-on to traditional therapies in order to stop the recurrence of tumors, the progressions of the disease, and the onset of secondary malignant growth. So, this is in the journal OncoTarget. Vitamin C and doxycycline, a synthetic lethal combination therapy targeting metabolic flexibility in cancer stem cells. So I have to wonder if the vitamin C is targeting the metabolic flexibility so that cancer cells are unable to use the glucose to feed itself. Wouldn't a ketogenic diet deliver a three-fisted punch? The doxycycline, the vitamin C, and that lack or lower, much lower blood glucose. Would that not be ideal? I wish some research team would take a look at that and develop a hypothesis about that to see. Because, you know, a ketogenic diet is so absolutely beneficial in cancer. If you've heard of the scientist Thomas Seyfried, he's written a magnificent tome about cancer being a metabolic disease. Not all the genetic hoopla where scientists have been going with this, because they're looking at certain genes. Do you have the breast cancer gene? Do you have this gene or that gene? Well, did you know that only 10% of breast cancer patients have the gene? What about the other 90% who get breast cancer? Cancer may indeed be a metabolic disease. And I often, all of my cancer patients are pretty much, unless it's contraindicated for some other reason, are pretty much put on a ketogenic diet, or at least a moderate to a much lower carb diet by me when they come to see me, and with supervision. Whether they're undergoing their therapies, all of that. Many patients are concerned because, as you know, a low-carb diet causes weight loss, and cancer patients, if they're already losing weight due to the adverse, terrible, toxic effects of chemotherapy, you know, all their practitioners, all their oncologists want them to do is be able to gain weight, and they're not always able to do that. And on a ketogenic diet, that can worsen the weight loss, but the weight loss can't be the primary target. The weight loss cannot be the primary concern unless there's cancer cachexia. But then that cancer is already so far advanced, so malignant, that it's basically eating up the body. And that's a much different scenario. So I just find this absolutely fascinating. I hope there's a lot more research here. We already know about the effects of vitamin C and cancer, and the fact that now research is looking at this very potentially non-toxic antibiotic in a combination therapy. And again, I wonder, what if you did all of this in the presence of a ketogenic diet? What might be the outcome? So I would really look forward to any of that kind of information moving forward. I'll be keeping my eyes peeled for research like this, because, you know, cancer is our modern day plague. And the screening methods have not been scientifically proven to lower cancer death rates. And so a lot of the conventional thinking really needs to be revisited and reassessed. We have to do something. And to start looking at it the way Dr. Thomas Seyfried has presented so beautifully in his book, Cancer is a Metabolic Disease, every scientist, every researcher should be reading that, should be looking at that. And this may be another step in finding a cure. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.